Because we're live here at Spoilers Podcast. This is Spoilers, episode 56 for January 17th, 2013.
Eat me! Feed me more! Feed me more!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 56 of Spoilers Podcast. My name is Ben Garland, and I'm joined today to talk about Raw's 20th anniversary and what's coming next to WWE by my awesome co-host, Graham Matthews. What's going on, man?
How's it going, Ben? Doing good today and ready to discuss this past Monday night's huge historical 20th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. For those that have seen my tweets and articles and posts over the last 3 days, we know that I was vastly disappointed with the show. We're going to be talking about that tonight, but we are also joined by area code 732, who I believe is Seth. How's it going, dude?
Good, good. How are you guys doing? Glad to be back on Spoilers Podcast.
Doing good, doing good.
Yeah. And I think we also have Austin Robinson, don't we?
Oh, yeah, he's coming in a little bit. He said he'll be here in the next 10, 15 minutes or so.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, so he will be joining us later. We're going to talk about Raw 20th anniversary and what that kind of means for the WWE coming up. And I just kind of want to share my feelings on it before we get started with the results. I went into it. I didn't watch Raw 20th anniversary until Tuesday and Wednesday. I watched it. And I had been on Twitter a little bit, so I knew somewhat was going to happen, but I just knew that people were very disappointed in it. So I went in with lowered expectations, and I didn't think it was that bad of a show. I think people, my opinion on it, people kind of went in with really, really high expectations, and the WWE, in my opinion, really didn't advertise that it was going to be like Raw 1000. So I didn't think it was a bad show. Maybe just went to those with high hopes, but that's just kind of my opinion on it.
Well, my two cents are this, is that they hyped up the former returning stars in one of the commercials that they had going into the event. It said something along the lines of stars are coming home or something like that, that they were airing countless times in the countdown of the 20th anniversary of Raw. So that's why I was disappointed, because they were advertising from that commercial former stars to return. And I know they aired on, they reported on Dirt Sheet that former stars might not be coming back if they changed the complete direction of the show. But even with that being said, they didn't report that Stone Cold and Taker and Shawn Michaels would be not on the show until, like, after the event. But, I mean, you can't believe the dirt sheets anyway, so I'm not really mad about that. It's just, I mean, I do agree with you. It was a great show as far as Raw goes. As far as the anniversary show goes, I did not enjoy it at all because there weren't enough nostalgic moments. I mean, I know it can't be like Raw 1000 where it was hyped months in advance with numerous returns from DX, The Rock, and Undertaker, the Brothers of Destruction as a whole. That was a fantastic event and the best Raw of 2012. But, I mean, you could have done a little something more for the 20th anniversary of Raw. I mean, the show's been around two decades. That's a major milestone. So you could have brought back maybe one or two stars. I'm not talking about Mick Foley, The Rock, or Ric Flair after a great this past week on Raw. But even still, I think they could have added some more stars that we haven't seen in a while. Mick Foley, we saw 3 weeks ago on Raw as Santa Claus. We saw The Rock last week on Raw, and we saw Ric Flair a month ago at the Slammy Awards as well. So I was looking forward to seeing some stars that we don't usually see, as we were talking about last week on Spoilers, guys like Batista or Edge or whatever. But, I mean, I guess you're right that I expected a little bit too much from the show, but hopefully we can right their wrongs with the Royal Rumble in the next couple of weeks when they have those returning stars, hopefully, in that matchup. So, Seth, if you want to give your thoughts on the show as well.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of things you guys are saying, and I think I saw that video about the hyping up from you, Graham, on Twitter, and, you know, that is really where the issue is. For us to blame it on the dirt sheets is not really the right thing to do, because it's our fault for always believing the dirt sheets. But the fact that they produced that video was not a smart booking move. It was not you know, good advertising, good marketing, because that is really what caused most of the disappointment. And I think that overall it was a pretty bad show. There were some points, thinking back at it a day or days later, that there were segments that I really did enjoy. Dr. Shelby, I love. and the rock concert really wasn't as bad as I initially thought it was at that time. But the biggest issue is that, you know, we expected certain things and obviously did not get them. So we just raised our expectations a little too high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just kind of what I think too. And I know that they were supposed to have Edge on, but he had to pull out at the last minute for a family matter. So the Edge was supposed to be there, so that kind of screwed with their plans. But other than that, I mean, we did see Mick Foley, we did see Ric Flair, we did see JR, we did see The Rock. So it's not like there wasn't anybody there. It was just kind of the people we see every time there's a big show.
Yeah, I was fine with that. I appreciated the effort that they put into it with Ric Flair, Mick Foley, The Rock, and JR. I enjoyed those appearances, but I'm just saying they could have done a little bit more. But even still, I guess they didn't want to focus all around old stars if they were doing with Raw 1000. They didn't want to make it a complete repeat. I guess that's okay. But they have the Royal Rumble coming up, and they have the Road to WrestleMania coming up in just a few weeks. So we have that to look forward to as well. But I'm still really looking forward to but also on the show, I forgot to mention, yeah, you were just saying the great moments that included Randy Orton losing clean to Wade Barrett, something I never thought was possible. That was pretty good. Caitlyn defeating Eve in her hometown to win the championship, with Eve subsequently leaving the WWE. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And also, we had the Rock concert, which I found entertaining, as well as the backstage reunion of the Rock and Sock Connection, which was probably the only nostalgic thing about the show. But even still, I liked it, as well as the Miz TV segment. This show did have its highlights, but my overall point is that they could have done more to bring back former stars and whatnot, as they did at Raw 1000. So that being said, we have two callers on the line. I'll start with area code 443. Please state your name, where you're from, and your thoughts on Raw on the 20th anniversary of Monday Night Raw from this past week.
Hello. Hey.
Hey, how's it going,
Austin? I like GSM. I did not like the show. Didn't like how there wasn't enough nostalgic moments, and just didn't feel like a big anniversary show. It didn't have to be like Raw 1000 or anything, but a little more stuff to allude to the fact that it was a big show and the 20th anniversary would have been nice, as opposed to just an average old Raw.
Yeah. And kind of another thing I was thinking of is they have a pay-per-view in 2 weeks that they have to build for. So I think they had to have some time for building the pay-per-view, like the World Heavyweight Championship match. And then while there probably was still some more time for that, they had to have that in. Otherwise, there would have been no building going into pay-per-view for the other events other than The Rock and Punk.
That's true. I mean, with that being said, also, if you're going to count this as a regular Raw, I don't think they did enough to hype up the Royal Rumble event as a whole. I know they did the whole thing with Punk and Rock, the end of the show with their little brawl, and they announced a tag team title match, as well as further the World Heavyweight Championship feud between Del Rio and Big Show. I appreciated that. They did a nice job of doing that. But the Royal Rumble match itself is what they really need to hype. I know the whole point of the event, the casual they're going to be buying, is for the WWE Championship matchup. I understand that. But with the 30-minute Royal Rumble match, that needs to be hyped as well. The only segment that we got on that this past Monday night was 3MB and Sheamus, and I found that pretty weak. So hopefully they start building that up. And they only have Raw until the event, so not next week. So hopefully they do a sufficient job of building up the match itself, and rather than just Punk versus Rock. I know that's an extraordinary, epic matchup, but they still need to hype up the Royal Rumble 30-man match itself. So also with that being said, the other caller on the line, we'll get to you in just a moment, area code 732, please state your name, where you're from, and your thoughts on the 20th anniversary of Monday Night Raw.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm a wrestling analyst every time when I begin, and I've noticed that there's nothing but hype anymore, and the hype isn't up to the matches. I mean, I was more impressed with Raw last week than this week, because they had Ryback versus CM Punk. If it weren't for the Shield, you know, if it weren't for the Shield, then I think I would have been okay with that match. But now you got the Shield in 3 out of 4 matches interrupting and ending in disqualification. And I was not impressed with Raw 20 because it was nothing but hype, you know. It was replays. It was replays, and they need to make future. They need to make a future for the company instead of making the history of the company. And, you know, the Rock concert, I remember John Cena, him calling out John Cena. But the Rock was not as interesting this time. He was not, like, the most electrifying that he could be. And, you know, instead of having hype for this match, why not have hype for the 30-man Royal Rumble, like you guys just said? And why not have the Shield only have their own matches instead of interrupting matches out of nowhere? Because the Shield are just Aces and Eights, and Aces and Eights are just a new version of NWO. And when you have all this hype for this coming show, and the week before was more interesting, I think that something needs to go on with Raw, because they're not going to have a future with the company if they keep on just having replays, and if they just keep on having commercials, if they keep on having hype, and they're not going to have no one buying their commercial, buying their pay-per-views. Because they do nothing but advertise for them, and they're half as good as they say it will be.
Well, I have to say, on what you said about, you know, the Shield versus the NWO, a little thing here that I wrote recently, is the Shield just another ripoff of the NWO? And if you really think about it and look into it, they're a lot more different than they are similar. I do agree that it's enough with the run-in, that they actually should probably end this whole Shield angle sooner rather than later, so that we can see these guys individually and see what they're capable of. But obviously it's the fault of the writers and the booking. What do you other guys think?
Yeah, I see what you mean. But I do agree on the fact that they are similar to the NWO, but not an exact replica. I thought they were also similar to the Nexus as well. I could see the similarities, but I can also agree on the fact that they do kind of need to move forward. Someone else was saying this on my review of the show, that their attacks on numerous superstars of last month have been getting stale, and I agree with that. They need to cut another promo, have another interview or something like that, like they did with Michael Cole last month. That was intriguing, that was interesting, that was exciting. That's another thing that I want to see in the next couple of weeks. I don't think they should end it all together, but I do think they should further it in some form or fashion by having them start some kind of feud. And it seems like they're going that direction with the Shield versus Sheamus, Orton, and Ryback. I don't see that happening at the Royal Rumble. I see that happening maybe at Elimination Chamber or WrestleMania. But hopefully they do something like cut a promo or something like that in the next couple of weeks. Or, as you just said, it's going to run its course quickly, and they're not going to be as over as they once were.
I agree with Graham on this one, that they need to cut a few more promos. Like those videos they did last month with Ambrose holding the camera, those were really good and intriguing in the interviews with Cole. I agree with Graham wholeheartedly on that one, that they need to do more of those.
Exactly. You guys understand what I'm saying, though. You understand that I'm saying that they need to change Raw, or else they're not going to be able to make it like in the 2000s. Hey, what I need you to do is call me back because I'm running out of credits, and when people call me, I get unlimited. If you can do that, thanks.
Wow.
Well, unfortunately, we can't call him back on this, so...
I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Okay, anyway, do we have any more opinions on that, or we just want to move on to Raw results?
I think good.
Okay. Raw opens live with the mashup of the opening videos from over the years, which is really cool, live from Houston, Texas. Vince McMahon comes out, and he starts off the show, and then we have... he announces John Cena versus Dolph Ziggler in a steel cage from that. That's going to be the main event. And then we have Big Show come out. And then Del Rio comes out. And they have a promo. Show pretty much says he wasn't prepared for a last man standing match a couple of Fridays ago when Del Rio won the World Heavyweight Championship. And they go back and forth. Ricardo Rodriguez actually throws what Big Show thought would be water on him. It was actually confetti. And Big Show is just really angry. They have... And then that match is announced for the Royal Rumble World Heavyweight Championship match. They have Wade Barrett versus Randy Orton. Wade Barrett, a clean win over Randy Orton. Very surprising, very awesome. Then we have a backstage segment. Eve Torres runs into Teddy Long and... Booker T, and she gets pretty mad at them because they're not letting her be a heel, essentially. And then we have backstage segment with Team Hell No and Dr. Shelby with the Rhodes Scholars, really, really good segment. Then we have Kane and Damian stand out. Kane wins that match. Then we have the first inductee to the 2013 Hall of Fame class, that is Mick Foley, he comes out. And then the Shield comes out. They surround Foley in the ring. And then we have Orton Ryback and Sheamus come in and save Mick Foley. Then we have WWE Divas title match. Caitlyn versus Eve Torres. Caitlyn wins, and she's the new WWE Divas champion. And then we have Brodus Clay taking on CM Punk. CM Punk wins with the Anaconda Vice, making Brodus Clay tap out. Then we have backstage segment with The Rock and Mick Foley. They have a really funny promo, and then Vicky goes and tells them to be quiet because of being too loud. And we have an over-the-top rope challenge. It's Sheamus versus 3MB. 3MB actually wins after Slater eliminates Sheamus. Then we have The Miz come out. He's going to host Miz TV with Ric Flair. And that was a pretty funny thing. And then Antonio Cesaro comes out. He just pretty much mocks America. And then we have, and he gets into it with Flair and The Miz. And they end up getting him down. Flair lets Miz apply the figure four. And that is the end of that segment. We have Daniel Bryan taking on Cody Rhodes. Daniel Bryan wins back to the Team Hell No, 2-0 on the night. We have steel cage match. Dolph Ziggler taking on John Cena. Pretty nice match. Biggie Langston played a big part in it on the outside. John Cena ends up winning this after he hits an attitude adjustment on Ziggler. And then we have the final segment of the night, a Rock concert. Where he makes fun of Paul Heyman and Vicky Guerrero. And then Punk comes out and him and Rock brawl, and that is the end of the show. So looking at this show, Raw 20th anniversary, what was kind of your opinions on it? Hello?
What did you say?
Can you say that one more time? I'm sorry.
Pay attention when I talk.
No, I heard, I didn't do that last part.
This is a professional podcast.
Yeah, what was the question exactly?
We already kind of discussed this, but what was your opinion on the show just overall?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was a good show. As I said before, I thought it was a pretty great Raw, but not a good anniversary show. And again, I think they had some awesome moments, as you were just recapping with the Orton and Barrett match, the Cena and Ziggler match, which was great, aside from the fact that it was the same thing as last week. But we had Caitlyn win the Divas Championship in her hometown, a very cool moment, probably one of the better Divas matches that we've seen in recent memory. Eve Torres splitting the company, so that was pretty shocking as well. That news broke on the day of the event, so that felt like it came out of nowhere. Now we have no top Diva in the on the roster. Caitlyn, who wasn't the best worker anyway, in the way that she was made to look so good in the, inside the ring was because of Eve. So hopefully they bring in some other Diva to kind of fill her place, because now that we have Eve, Karma, and Beth gone, they have to fill up that spot somehow. But overall, yeah, I thought it was a disappointing old anniversary show, but I thought it was pretty great Raw, aside from the fact that they didn't hype the Royal Rumble match at all, which they should at this point. They're one of their biggest selling points of the pay-per-view. So hopefully next week they get it right with the go-home show. I was surprised and equally glad that they got a very high rating for this show, whereas in terms of, you know, being high ratings in the last few months, with a 3.1, which is one of their highest ratings that they've gotten since Raw 1000. So that was satisfying to see as well.
Yeah, now, when you talk about hyping the actual Royal Rumble match, I mean, what exactly can you do for that? To me, the Royal Rumble match just comes with itself. It doesn't necessarily need any hype, if you know what I'm saying. Everyone knows what it is. Everyone knows that's a big part of the show. And it's going to be a surprise anyway, so really why kind of bother with people coming out cutting promos on how they're going to win the Royal Rumble?
Well, there's two things you can do. There's one way that you can have a battle royal, like we saw on Raw this week, but I'm talking about with like legitimate stars, not 3MB and Sheamus, that's not over in 2 minutes. Or you can have qualifying matches. We haven't seen a qualifying match of the Royal Rumble in 2, 3, 4 years, so I think it'd make the match feel a little more prestigious rather than people just claiming they can just enter the match. I mean, if people are claiming they can just enter the match, why can't you and I just walk up to a Royal Arena and just be like, okay, I'll be in the Royal Rumble this year, you know what I mean? So they need to make it feel special, not just announce they're going to be in the match. They need to have their place earned in the match. I think it's just a little logical just to claim your place, because last year that's how we got Michael Cole, Booker T, and Jerry Lawler in the Royal Rumble when they shouldn't have been in the Royal Rumble. So hopefully it's not a repeat of last year when we get random people coming in the match, being in there for no more than 30 seconds, and having the guys like The Miz and Cody Rhodes, guys that were in there for nearly like 45 minutes, made to look like an afterthought. So hopefully this year's Royal Rumble match is a little bit more better as far as entertainment goes. And that match, it was hyped up to be great, the Royal Rumble match itself. But the match, when it came to the match at the event, it disappointed. So sometimes the build isn't everything, but it does help as far as, you know, as a Byrick and whatever, but even still, I thought it was I thought they've done a nice job of hyping it in the past, so hopefully they continue to hype it on the go-home show next week and have guys like Randy Orton, Sheamus, John Cena, guys that have already announced they're going to be in the match, you know, continue to cross paths or some sort of like that.
You know what I'd like to see, guys? I don't know if you guys remember this, but during the Attitude Era, when, you know, DX and the McMahons were really feuding, also obviously with Stone Cold involved, there was, and leading up to the Royal Rumble, there was a battle royal, and the winner would claim the number 30 spot. And, you know, that's something I think that would be really great to see, and something that would really hype up the pay-per-view well. Obviously, it would ruin a little surprise as to who the 30th entrance is, but it really would help Raw and the quality of Raw. So something like that, something maybe where I think Vince McMahon made Stone Cold number two that year or number one, and he ended up being number two. So maybe, you know, someone forcing someone into a match where if they lost, they would have a really bad number, like one or two. Things like that would be really cool to see on
yeah,
next week's Raw.
Didn't they do that last year with, didn't Miz face R-Truth and the loser got the number one spot?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that how the Miz got that spot?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, except R-Truth came in at number 3, which didn't, so it didn't matter at all.
Right.
And I even think Miz lasted longer.
But I think we should see something like that next week on Raw.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But I kind of want to talk more about the diva situation. Now Eve, who in my opinion was the best diva on the roster, is now gone. What are they going to do? I mean, they have Caitlyn as their Divas champion, who I'm, everyone else likes her. I'm just not a big fan of her for whatever reason. I'm just not. So Caitlyn's our Divas champion. And then the women's roster is just so depleted. They're going to have to either start bringing in new Divas that are down in development or I don't even know what.
Well, I wasn't a huge fan of Eve before last year when she turned heel. I became a huge fan of her. She would probably be top heel in the division, which isn't saying much. There's only like 5 or 6 Divas on the roster. But even still, she had some fantastic matches with, you know, over the last year with the numbers of, you know, with the likes of Caitlyn and Layla, making them look good in various matches. And with her gone, Kelly gone, I mean, I'm glad she's gone. But even still, she was one of the more prominent Divas on the roster. Then you have Beth Gong and Karma Gong. All these Divas and the Bellas as well, and Maxine. I mean, all these Divas leaving over the last year has been a major hit to the division. And they did a great job of trying to resurrect the division in the last 6 months with Eve as Divas champion. I was really loving it, too. She had some good matches, as I said before, with Layla and Caitlyn. They had a good feud going on and putting Caitlyn in chase mode. Never heard going after the Divas championship in the last 5 months. They had a pretty good feud. So I was liking the direction of that and how they paid it off this past week on Raw by having Caitlyn win the title in their hometown. That was a good match as well and a nice spear as well. But what did they do now? As you said, as bringing in elemental divas like Paige, you guys watch NXT, she's probably the best women's wrestler they have at the moment. So I think she's ready. Hopefully they bring her up. And we have AJ now too, and she's getting back in the ring more and more now. So hopefully we see her versus Caitlyn, a match that they did a couple months ago. They have Caitlyn versus AJ for the Divas Championship at WrestleMania 29 in AJ's hometown of New Jersey, or in home state of New Jersey. So that would be a pretty good match as well, seeing how they have major history going back to NXT Season 3. So that would be a nice storyline if they can build that up. But, yeah, they need to replace Eve somehow, and I think Paige would be the perfect fit.
Yeah, I truthfully haven't looked too much into Paige, but from what I've been hearing around Twitter, she seems to be the real deal, and I'll have to check her out later. But she seems like, I mean, the WWE has to do something. They have to bring in someone who can come into this division and kind of rejuvenate it, even with the lack of airtime that the Divas have been getting. But anyways, I'm trying to think who the WWE has on the roster now. They have Caitlyn, they have AJ, who's kinda not.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious what's gonna happen. I did write an article on this, on the Divas that are currently in WWE that, you know, need to step up and take Eve's absence. And I think it's obvious. First of all, they need to bring up some women from NXT, like Graham said, Paige and others. But I think it's really obvious. Caitlyn won the Divas Championship in her hometown of Houston, Texas, and she's going to drop it to AJ in her home state of New Jersey at WrestleMania. I can't see any other way of anything else happening.
I have to agree with you there.
Yeah, as I said before, that'd be a good fuse in the history that they have, and they kind of foreshadowed it a couple weeks ago on Super SmackDown Live when they had that backstage altercation and when AJ attacked Caitlyn, and they kind of foreshadowed that last April as well when AJ was first showing signs of a heel turn. So, again, the history is there. The match may not be all that great, but Caitlyn isn't all that good in the ring, but, again, Eve made her look like $1 million. I believe AJ will do the same thing. So hopefully we do get that match at the event. I mean, we were predicting Beth versus Karma, the Divas Championship at WrestleMania, and we didn't get anything along the lines of that at all because Karma wasn't back in time, and Beth ended up dropping the championship. Oh, no, she dropped the championship after the event, but you know what I mean, though, because Karma wasn't back in time, even though we saw her at the Royal Rumble. So it's not always what it seems. They might change courses, even though as predictable as it may be, but that's the right direction they should take. It'd be the best storyline for it, and AJ deserved a shot at the Divas Championship.
Sorry, could you say the last part again?
That AJ deserves a shot at the Divas Championship. I mean, she's hands down probably the best Diva wrestler that they have on the roster right now. Now, I was really satisfied with the fact that they had the title change occur in Caitlyn's hometown. I know that they were planning on doing it at the Royal Rumble, which I don't think would have been as good. I mean, Eve won the Divas Championship at the Royal Rumble a couple years ago, and no one cared at all. The fact they did it in Caitlyn's hometown really helped enhance the title change. I mean, if you go back and watch it, that was probably the loudest reaction the Divas have gotten in quite some time. So I'm really pleased with that, and the fact that Caitlyn is at least somewhat over as Diva champion, unlike Layla. So that's a good thing to see.
Mm-hmm. I think it may come to the WWE kind of begging some of the old Divas to maybe come back, like Michelle McCool, who retired, what was that, a year ago? So, I don't know. The WWE might try and beg some of the established Divas to come back. But I think at this point, I actually wouldn't be too upset to see kind of a mix of that. You know?
That wouldn't be bad. I mean, I don't know about Michelle McCool because she's officially retired from the ring, so I don't know if she's ever coming back. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of hers, but she was one of the greatest heels in the Divas division. I mean, as annoying as she was, she garnered heat with Lay Cool, so she did her job to perfection when she was around in the WWE in her latter years as a part of Lay Cool. So if they could bring her back, I mean, I'd be shocked, but even still, they could do some sort of thing with her and Layla if Layla ends up getting back the championship at some point. And I don't know how many other Divas you can bring back because they were all kind of fired for a reason. I mean, like Candice LaShaw had a baby, Maria's in Ring of Honor. I mean, there's quite a few other Divas that are doing other stuff. But, I mean, maybe Mickie James at some point. She's in TNA at the moment, obviously. You have Angelina Love, who was in TNA, who was fired back in July or parted ways with the company back in July. And you can bring her in, maybe Mexican America, Sarita and Rosita from TNA. TNA has dropped quite a talent in the last few months as far as women wrestlers goes. So I would love to see them in WWE. I mean, they'd be perfect for it, especially Angelina Love. She's not all that bad in the ring, and she's a great-looking diva as well, or a knockout, I should say. So WWE would be really fortunate if they could pick her up and bring her to the division.
What do you think of this, Seth?
I'd be really surprised if any former divas come back. I mean, the way they treat the divas division, why would anyone, come back? What are they coming back to? They're not going to be getting much TV time, and they're not going to be used very much. So I'd be very surprised to see anyone return. So I think the most likely scenario, like I've said, is bring some people up from NXT and, you know, stall until for a couple months or start building towards an AJ Caitlyn feud. Even when Eve was around, I think people predicted that AJ would be challenging for the championship at WrestleMania. So this just, you know, speeds that up a little bit. And, you know, let's get the party started with AJ in the Divas division.
Oh, also, by the way, Austin, who was on the line, had to take, he dropped the call by accident, so he's not on the line either. It's just me, you, and Seth.
Oh, okay, then. Alright, well, anyways, do we have any more things we want to talk about the Divas with?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Alright, so we have at the end of the show the Punk and Rock brawl at the end. And I think this was, we were talking about earlier how they didn't really build toward the kind of the event. I think this was just the absolute perfect way to build toward the main event of CM Punk versus The Rock.
Well, I mean, again, it kind of goes back to the point, is this going to be the main event? I mean, I don't know if we discussed this last week, but that's kind of up in the air at this point. I don't know if they're going to be having that match main event the show or the Royal Rumble match itself, because I think you said, last week that maybe 2006 or 2004 or something like that, that one of the earlier years, a couple of years back, was that it wasn't the main event, so I'll have to go back and check up on that. But even still, I would be really surprised if that headlined the event, but again, I wouldn't be all that surprised seeing championship. What was that? Oh, never mind. Well, even still, I thought, if we have someone, if we have someone shocking with the Rumble, like Ryback or John Cena, that'd be pretty cool, but I guess it all kind of depends on who wins the Rumble and if they're going to have a headline, but going back to the Rock concert thing and the brawl, yeah, I thought that was nicely. I liked the Rock concert, contrary to what people are saying. I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining. The brawl itself was very well done. Punk threw some major balls going after Rock. He just voluntarily started attacking the Rock. He didn't back down or anything. He just ran right after the Rock and started punching him like crazy, just tackled him into the barricade. So that I thought that was pretty cool. Instead of backing out, I mean, a lot of people were saying since Punk turned heel 6 months ago that he's been made out to look like a coward heel. So I thought that was a good way of making him look strong as champion, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, I thought this was a great way to build towards the match. Not so much the event or the Royal Rumble match, again, as I said before, but as far as building towards this match, yeah, this is a great way of doing it. It was perfectly executed.
In terms of the brawl?
Yep.
Yeah, I enjoyed the segment looking back at it. I think that, Rock's songs are always very clever, very funny, as he is always funny. The one thing people were talking about was that the song wasn't really aimed so much at Punk himself, but at Vicky Guerrero and Paul Heyman more. So that would be, I guess, the one criticism of it. But in general, it's very entertaining. Hello?
Hey, Ben, you still on the line?
You have the dashboard?
Yeah, he's still here. It says he's still here.
Yeah, sorry. I accidentally hit mute on my phone. I went into this whole thing about the Rock concert and no one was listening. Anyways, the Rock concert, I thought, was pretty funny. And I don't know if anyone else feels this way. It just really irks me whenever they are really mean to Vicky Guerrero. Like, I get the occasional jab, but it's the segments like that where I just cringe, if you know what I mean.
Was it you, Ben, that wrote the article on Vicky Guerrero and the jokes made at her a couple years back? Or was it like, it was over a year ago. I know it was a while ago, but was
yeah.
that you that wrote that article?
Yeah, that was me. I've actually written
that. Oh, okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, one's on WrestlingEnigma.com, one's on BleacherReport.com.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, they had John Cena take shots at her all the time. I mean, not recently, but I mean, maybe even recently, but I remember a while ago they were doing that. But I don't know what the point of that was. I mean, I guess it was just to get some laughs out of The Rock. I mean, if he made fun of another random heel on the roster, it wouldn't be as effective because everyone hates Vicky Guerrero as a character. And same thing with Paul Heyman since he's aligned to CM Punk. But I am glad that he didn't take shots at CM Punk himself. As you noticed last week during the pipe bomb segment, CM Punk didn't take any shots at The Rock. The Rock didn't take any shots at CM Punk. It was actually quite the opposite. They were kind of giving each other respect in the sense that Rock was saying how he's been champion for so long and that no one's been able to stop him. So I was glad that Rock was actually building up his opponent, unlike what he was doing last year with John Cena when he was just tearing him down. I mean, as entertaining as that was, it didn't really do anything for the match at all. So I was glad they were taking a different approach this match with Punk and Rock, and not having them taking countless and relentless shots at each other in all their promos and whatnot.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. Seth, do you have your thoughts on that?
Sorry, what was the question?
as far as making fun of Vicky Guerrero in the Rock concert.
Well, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere. I thought, not that, you know, people don't always make fun of Vicky Guerrero, but it seems that she she's the managing supervisor. They're actually finding less and less for her to do. I mean, she's rarely appearing now. When she appears, it's for just like a minute or two here and there. And, you know, after AJ completely turned and sided with Dolph Ziggler and brought in Big E, it kind of left Vicky without anything to do and kind of a pointless authority figure just walking around being like, okay, that match could happen. So, you know, I guess it was just another way to bring out Vicky Guerrero and obviously she's someone that gets made fun of a lot in WWE.
I mean, if she wasn't general manager, do you guys think that she would still be around? I mean, as you just said, she's not aligned with Dolph Ziggler. They worked together for over 2.5 years. So, I mean, I think the Raw general manager spot, the only thing that's keeping her around, if you really think about it, what else is holding her back at the moment? I mean, as much heat as she garners, as you just said, Seth, she hardly appears on television at all. I mean, I think last week she was only on television maybe in one backstage segment for a minute. So, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, if they end up replacing her with someone a little more exciting that we haven't seen in the GM spot before, such as, I don't know, some people are Stone Cold. I highly doubt that's likely, but even still, something along those lines that we get someone fresh and new in the GM spot. And, I mean, if they end up going that route in the next few months when they're on the road to WrestleMania, what do they do with Vicky Guerrero? I mean, could they have her manage another superstar? I mean, it's interesting. I mean, they've done pretty much everything with her over the last 5 years. So I don't know what they do, where they go with her from here.
I mean, she could be a manager again if they find someone. Obviously, it has to be a heel and someone who could really use Vicky Guerrero. Otherwise, there really isn't anything for her to do, I don't think. I really think that WWE made a huge mistake when they kept Vicky with Ziggler over Jack Swagger, because Ziggler really didn't need Vicky while Jack Swagger really did.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, again, I'm not saying, where the hell is Jack Swagger? Are they ever going to bring him back or what?
Maybe they're just keeping him in the back to set up a huge thing with Antonio Cesaro. Because if you think about it, obviously Swagger was U.S. champion not too long ago. You know, he's the one did he defeat Santino or did Santino defeat him? I think he defeated Jack Ryder.
Yep.
And then Santino defeated Jack Swagger, and then Cesaro defeated Santino. So it hasn't been that many superstars since Jack Swagger was U.S. champion. Plus, he is the All-American-American, and Cesaro is so anti-American, walking around with the United States Championship belt. I would hope that they're just building this big thing for Swagger to come in and be a face and finally be the one to defeat Cesaro.
I would love to see that personally. I mean, that could be probably a big WrestleMania matchup. And, I mean, as you just said that he's a huge anti-American carrying around the U.S. Championship. And not only that, he's been walking around as of Monday and as a main event with the Star Spangled Tights as well and the flag. I mean, he's been waving that around, even throwing that in the face. So, yeah, that could work wonders if they – with Jack Swagger. Imagine the wrestling match those two could have. I mean, Cesaro's been a great wrestler over the last 7 months since he made his WWE debut. Obviously, Swagger, a great amateur wrestler. So, yeah, that can make for a very solid matchup at WrestleMania. The only complaint that I have is that at WrestleMania, I wanted to see him versus a returning Christian, because it was Cesaro who took Christian out of action last August. But, I mean, have Christian, Swagger, whoever. As long as the U.S. Championship is defended at WrestleMania for the first time since, I believe, WrestleMania 23 and give that title more prestige, I mean, they've been doing some great job. They've been doing a great job at the championship since they've had Cesaro win it back at SummerSlam. So I think the next step is treating it like a major championship. Cesaro's been great in that role, but you have to treat it like a major championship by having it be defended at WrestleMania. It's been defended every pay-per-view since Cesaro won it. So if they can have it defended at WrestleMania, I think that could work wonders for both Swagger and Cesaro.
Yeah, I mean, you, like a lot of people, are big Christian marks, love Christian. I don't dislike Christian, but, you know, I tend to focus more on storyline. And storyline-wise, I think it makes a lot more sense for it to be Jeff Swagger. Christian really doesn't have anything else to accomplish, really, in WWE. He's not old, but he's part of the older era of guys, more veteran to WWE than some of the newer guys that we're seeing. And I especially with this anti-American thing that Cesaro is pushing for, it just makes a lot more sense for it to be Jeff Swagger.
Well, that is true. I will say this. Having him defeat Christian, I'm not saying Christian will go over Cesaro in the U.S. Championship, but you have him beat Christian, and given the fact that Christian's a former two-time World Heavyweight Champion, that could give him some major credibility as well. I mean, Jack Swagger's a former World Heavyweight Champion, but, I mean, I won't say his reign was better because Christian was pretty much the same thing, but yeah, I guess you're right. Both guys are former World Heavyweight Champions, so... And Christian's a more World Heavyweight Champion that's more fresh in our mind. So if you have him defeat Christian to retain his championship, it can give him a little bit more credibility than if he was Swagger, a guy that won a match and God knows how long. So, I mean, it could go either way. Both matches would be great either way at WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, I think that once Cesaro does drop that championship, he's probably going to get a push. I would say he's a candidate to win Money in the Bank in 2013.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. Yeah, I could definitely see him in the world title picture by the end of the year. And, I mean, we've been saying that with, like, guys like Rhodes and Barrett in years past, but I do truly believe that they can have Cesaro in the world title picture by the end of 2013. I mean, the guy has been great. And he's really, really taken it to the next level since he debuted. I mean, the guy looked like a jobber when he first debuted back in April, but he's really stepped up his game as far as heat goes and mic skills and whatever. His verbal segment with Ric Flair on Monday, that was absolute gold. I mean, he was taking personal shots at him and whatever. That was very entertaining. I don't know what was up with Ric Flair. He seemed like he was drunk or something. It seemed like his old TNA days, but even still, I thought it was great. Very entertaining. Cesaro got some major rub from being there with Ric Flair. So, and also on that same segment, he was in the ring with The Miz. They have him defend the U.S. Championship against The Miz, a former WWE champion. Again, fresh in our minds since he was champion only about 2 years ago. That would be great booking as well. They're going to have a very good matchup at Royal Rumble or Elimination Chamber. Again, Miz doesn't need to win the championship, but if you have Cesaro go over a former WWE champion, it could give him some major credibility.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. Now, what I'd like to see is Antonio Cesaro is in the Royal Rumble. He dominated Jack Swagger. Returns, comes out and just immediately goes after Cesaro because Cesaro is obviously anti-American. That sets up their feud for WrestleMania. I think that could work.
In terms of what you were saying, Graham, about Rhodes and Barrett and the Money in the Bank, you know, last year when they had Money in the Bank, Barrett was injured. So I would not be surprised to hear if WWE was planning on possibly Barrett winning one of those Money in the Bank briefcases. If he was healthy, it's possible that we wouldn't have had that John Cena Money in the Bank match, but another one featuring mid-card guys who need a push. So it's hard to say, but I think Barrett is definitely going to be a future world champion as well. Rhodes, I'm not as confident with, because it seemed like he was at a peak at one point when he had the Intercontinental Championship, and now it seems, I don't want to say he's been demoted to the tag team, but it seems like it may just be a better fit for him.
I mean, he's been in the tag team division since he debuted over 5 years ago, so I think it's the next step. I mean, I don't want to put him back in the IC Championship picture or the U.S. title picture, for that matter, because I think he's above that at this point. But, I mean, I'm not going to complain about his tag team with Damian Sandow, because it's actually very entertaining. Those guys work together, have great chemistry in the ring and on the mic, as well as their gimmicks. They mesh perfectly. So I could definitely see those guys as the next WWE tag team champions. No complaints there, but even he should be at that singles push at some point. I mean, as he said, he was at that peak as IC champion, but after his loss to the Big Show at Mania, that's what really killed him. But after he was chasing Christian for the IC championship, I think having more money to make here in July could have really saved his career. I mean, it was down to either him or Ziggler. And I honestly think that if Ziggler didn't have the money to make briefcase, he could easily just go for the championship regardless, because he was going for the championship at No Way Out when he didn't have the briefcase. Rhodes didn't have that luxury. If he had that briefcase, maybe they could have built him up some more after his loss, or his huge loss to Big Show at WrestleMania. They could have built him back up more as Money to Make winner. I don't see him winning the Money to Make this year, but maybe at some point, some people are saying that 2013 will be Rhodes' year. I mean, I hope so, but I'm not getting my hopes up, because as they've shown in 2010, 2011, 2012, they've really dropped the ball on Rhodes on numerous occasions. So I'm hoping that after he splits up from Sandow later in the year, both Sandow and Rhodes get some big pushes as far as, you know, in singles competition.
Well, I think that they first need a good run with the tag team titles. I really like them as a tag team. And I'd like to see Dr. Shelby get really involved in this feud between the two tag teams, maybe even pull a Sonny. If you guys remember in the 90s, Sonny was managing a bunch of different tag teams, and basically when one dropped the tag titles to another tag team, she kind of went with them. And I think it would be kind of interesting to see that with Dr. Shelby, almost. Have him manage Team Hell No, and then maybe turn on them, or for whatever reason, align himself with Team Rhodes Scholars after that. I think it would be an interesting situation.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. That would be some great booking if they have Dr. Shelby go with Team Rhodes Scholars. That's what I thought they were going to do this week on Raw, but it was obviously apparent that he was against the Rhodes Scholars. But then again, it's WWE logic, so it could always change hands in an instant. So, yeah, I could definitely...
There is no logic.
Well, that is true. WWE logic means that there is no logic. So, I mean, maybe at some point, I mean, I was hoping for Matt Stryker to join Team Rhodes Scholars last year, but Stryker had that mini heel turn on Raw, but they didn't really go anywhere with that, so I guess not. But, yeah, Dr. Shelby's kind of like an established talent, I guess you could say, so having him join Team Rhodes Scholars would be pretty entertaining once they capture the titles at the Royal Rumble.
Hmm. Yeah, I can. sorry if my mic is cutting out. My signal's been terrible today. Do we want to move on to what else do we want to talk about?
How about Cena versus Ziggler, the steel cage match? Should we already discuss that or no?
Oh, we haven't.
I don't think so.
That was, in my opinion, a very good match. I really enjoyed myself during that match.
I mean, again, as
it was
before,
good,
it was
a
great
match,
but the issue was the ending. Yeah, it was the same
as last week. It's a good example of one of the big things that was wrong with Raw. As Graham, you know, I do my top questions left unanswered after Raw each week. And one of my questions was, why were there so many matches that we've seen before? The only match that was never before done was CM Punk versus Brodus Clay on Raw. Every other match we had seen before numerous times. Wade Barrett versus Randy Orton, Rhodes Scholars and Hell No in separate singles matches, Cena versus Ziggler. It's also interesting to think about the fact that last week, I think it was, Ziggler Cena opened the show, and this week, this past week, it was the last match.
That was pretty interesting. I mean, I know what you mean as far as not having fresh matches, and I completely agree, but you can't give blockbuster matches on Raw, on free television, and they did that last year with John Cena and Daniel Bryan. That was a fantastic matchup that they kind of gave away without any hype at all that week on Raw in August. I see what you mean, though. They can't have the same matches every single week. I mean, Orton versus Barrett is a match that we've had God how many times in the last 2 or 3 years. So I understand that, but some of the matches like...
Well, also, it would also be different if Ziggler won. But the fact that Cena is winning
I completely agree. I mean, some of the matches are like the same thing. All hats off to Randy Orton for putting over Barrett clean. That is something that I wanted to see, because every single time we've seen that match, it's either Barrett winning via dirty tactics after interference or just winning clean. So at least they changed it up with that match and having Barrett go over clean. I appreciated that. But, yes, as you said, with Cena versus Ziggler, it was the same exact thing that we saw last week on Raw in their initial match back in December. Not TLC, but the one before that they had on Raw, where John Cena wins regardless of interference. That is the biggest bullshit booking that I've ever seen on Raw. I mean, they had the same exact thing last week. I understand if you have Ziggler go up this week and you end the feud there, that'll make complete sense. But, again, you have Vicky Langston, this monster of a man coming in the ring. You have AJ, this psycho lady, the psycho bitch, on the top of the steel cage trying to interfere in the matchup. And then you have Dolph Ziggler trying to beat down Cena as well. It's against one inside of a steel cage where Dolph Ziggler easily picked up a cheap victory by climbing over the cage. Yet they didn't do that because they figured they needed to give Cena the victory despite winning last week. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I try not to hit on Cena because I dislike his character. But even still, I think this is completely unnecessary to have the same exact match as last. Again, it was a great matchup, great action. I appreciated it. I enjoyed it. But, again, same thing as last week, same result. I didn't see the purpose in having it yet again on Raw, despite the little steel cage stipulation that didn't do anything to enhance this match at all.
We're also seeing a number of turns, especially face turns from heels. So that should be opening up the possibilities for new feuds and new rivalries. You know, we used to see the WWE draft, which would change things up on who was on which show and would change the feuds and characters. But now that we don't have that, a heel or face turn is really what's going to change that. So hopefully we continue to see more changes, but hopefully it also leads to new feuds and rivalries.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, they definitely have the potential to have some great matches on Raw. CM Punk versus Brodus Clay is a perfect example. It was a first-time ever match, but it wasn't a blockbuster match that you'd see on pay-per-view. It was cool after CM Punk's little rant promo last week on Raw, where he mentioned Brodus Clay. And then this week they had a follow-up matchup for the first time ever. Brodus Clay was brought from being in the ring with the WWE champion, and Punk goes over Clay in 3 minutes to be a submission. Perfect booking right there, and then Punk cuts a great promo subsequently right afterwards. So that was some great booking and having a first-time ever matchup that didn't really give anything away for a future pay-per-view. And on that note, we're going to be going off the live stream in about a minute. So if you guys would like to listen to the rest of this podcast, actually check out the link that me and Ben and Seth tweet out after the show. Also found on blogtalkradio.com/PWPradio. And thanks for listening live as well. So, yeah, as I was just saying, Ziggler versus Cena, same exact stuff that we see every single week. And Seth, you bring up a great point. And all the face turns and all the heel turns that we'll be seeing in the next couple of months, especially with Del Rio and The Miz. And with Miz, we've seen a lot of new, fresh matches in the last few weeks / months. He was facing Dolph Ziggler, a first-time ever matchup. He faced Heath Slater in a great match on SmackDown a few weeks ago. He's going to be moving into a feud with Cesaro in a couple weeks. So, I mean, yeah, the face turns are really helping enhance it with the draft not being around anymore. And with Del Rio as World Heavyweight Champion, now a face, we can see him intertwine in some very entertaining feuds with other heels that he was never able to face as a heel. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's going to make for some fresh feuds going into WrestleMania season.
Yeah. I really would love, I think at this point they really need to bring back the WWE draft, because everything's just so confusing with all the face turns. And I really think that could kind of freshen the scene up. Now, I don't think that they should do it until after WrestleMania, but I think after WrestleMania we might run into a lull because everything's just so confusing right now.
Yeah, things start to become a little bit more clear following WrestleMania. I mean, only time will tell as far as what the card will be for Mania. I mean, we've discussed this numerous times in the last few months, but everything is up in the air because we don't have Rock versus Cena this year announced the year beforehand. So it's definitely going to be interesting as far as what the card will be. There's numerous possibilities. And despite the fact they have a low roster, they don't have much depth in the roster. They have a lot of top stars in both Raw and SmackDown, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do with all of those guys without having to use a meaningless multi-man match that we've seen numerous times in recent WrestleMania history.
Yeah. I had to do that, and then I just completely forgot it. What the heck?
Well, what was that? I'm sorry?
I had something to say, and then I just completely forgot it.
Oh, okay.
And now I can't remember. Oh, my goodness. This is very embarrassing. Okay, Seth, do you have your kind of response to that?
Well, we might still see Brock versus Cena at WrestleMania, but hopefully not. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to see it again.
Yeah, I honestly really don't want to see it again. I don't think many members of the IWC want to see it again, but at this point, I guess we just got to accept the truth. We have to accept the truth that it will happen again, regardless of whether it's over the championship or not. There is a pretty high possibility that it will be happening, because if that match doesn't happen, I don't know what they'll be doing with Rock going to WrestleMania. I don't see many other potential opponents for the Rock, aside from the triple threat matchup we were talking about last week with Rock, Punk, and Cena, which I think would be a great substitute. But, yeah, I mean, I guess the card's going to be much clearer following the Royal Rumble pay-per-view.
And following, obviously, the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I always forget about the Elimination Chamber because we're sitting here kind of making plans for the Royal Rumble and how that's going to affect WrestleMania when we still got one more pay-per-view to go. And honestly, it's kind of my least favorite pay-per-view because it just seems inconvenient to me. It just throws a hitch into everything where the WWE has to build for Elimination Chamber, whose sole purpose is to build for WrestleMania. And I think it might even be better if they just kind of did away with it and then just went from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania.
Well, before last year and the year before, it was a pay-per-view used for last-minute title changes to get titles on guys that need it, like to put the world title on Jericho and to put the WWE title or the world title on Edge in 2009. That's kind of what it's been mainly utilized for in recent years, years prior to recent years, because last year or in 2012, there were no title changes in chambers at all. 2011, no title changes at all. So, yeah, as you were saying, it's completely meaningless. TNA just recently went to 4 pay-per-views. I think, again, WWE won't go to 4 pay-per-views as long as we know. But even so, I think Elimination Chamber is vastly unnecessary. They can always use a chamber at another pay-per-view, such as SummerSlam or Survivor Series, where it originally was over a decade ago. So, yeah, that'd be interesting if they got rid of it and just had the title matches. If they wanted to have last-minute title changes, or they could always do that on Raw or SmackDown, as we've seen on, with Del Rio and just a few short weeks ago, just last week.
And there's another awkward silence. We got too used to having 5 people on the show last week, and now we've got 3 people, and I don't know. This is just kind of awkward. Could you say
that? Yeah, I see. Yeah. I mean, maybe it'll change next week or whatever, because, I mean, we're just usually just me and you, Ben, so it changes every week depending on how much people we have, with the last week having 5 people. It's understandable. just got to create the chemistry and whatever.
Yeah. Well, some growing pains as we move into the big time with our new place at Blog Talk Radio, with CW Powerhouse Radio. Could you say the last part of what she said earlier?
I'm sorry, what was that?
When you were talking right before the Awkward Silence part, could you say that last part again?
Oh, the Elimination Chamber thing where you just get rid of that and, just move the title changes on Raw. I think it could provide some big ratings for the Monday Night Raw shows and Friday Night SmackDown, whatever. I mean, you just get rid of the pay-per-view. You don't really need it. Just do the title changes. If you need to do title changes, just do it on Raw or SmackDown. It's the best bet. You increase ratings. Everyone wins.
I totally agree. And my optimal pay-per-view formula is 6 a year. Have one every 2 months. And if I'm to send a pay-per-view schedule, Elimination Chamber is the first one to go. That stands right in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. You have those two big four right back-to-back, separated only by a couple months. And I think that those feuds and those Raws going into WrestleMania would just be probably some of the best Raws of the whole year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't remember Elimination Chamber pay-per-view that wasn't predictable, so if you just move those matches to a regular Raw, I mean, the Raws and SmackDowns going into WrestleMania are already good. So if you move the title changes that were supposed to be in that show to on SmackDown, it can make them even better. So as I said before, it can help increase ratings and whatever. Because again, the chambers and whatever aren't necessary because guys like Punk and Rock are going to be winning the championship. If Rock wins the championship at Royal Rumble, he's obviously not going to win the Elimination Chamber. I mean, if he does work the pay-per-view, he's not going to be inside one of the chambers. I highly doubt that. Only time will tell as far as that goes, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that pay-per-view if they don't go in any title change or whatever. But I do expect there to be a world title change because obviously Del Rio is going to be retaining it at Royal Rumble. So if they have Sheamus win the world championship at Elimination Chamber or rather, then you go on to have Sheamus win the Mania. Another match I don't want to see, but it's pretty likely at this point, so that would make the most sense.
Yeah, I'd actually be very surprised to see The Rock working in the Elimination Chamber. Although that, I'm trying to think, has he ever been in an Elimination Chamber match?
I don't
might not.
Think. No, because when it came around in late 2002, he was already gone by that point.
Yeah, so that actually could be really cool to see him in that kind of match, but I highly doubt we will in the Elimination.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, mainly because, if Hollywood's up, the potential of getting an injury right before WrestleMania, I don't see that happening, but it has been since confirmed that he will be at the show. He will be at the pay-per-view itself. I just see him working one of the Elimination Chamber matches. I mean, he can work a regular title match or whatever if he's champion at the time, but, again, I don't see him working one of the Chamber matches for obvious reasons.
Yeah. But the title matches are going to be in the Chamber, aren't they?
Well, not always. 2011, it was the world title match in the Chamber, but the WWE title match with Edge, or I'm sorry, with The Miz and Jerry Lawler was not inside the Chamber. It was just a regular thing to match, and the other Chamber match was used for a number one contender spot. So I could always see that happening as well.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was awful.
Yeah.
I remember that now.
Predictable.
That was just bad. And so I don't think we'll see that again. So, but anyways, so it is confirmed now that he is going to be at the Elimination Chamber?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I was just kind of moving on to an unrelated topic. I was reading on the dirt sheets today, and there seems to be this rumor that Dolph Ziggler is going to be turning face.
Yeah, I read that as well. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I don't know why they would do that. They barely have any stuff that is as it is, unless they're planning on turning someone. I mean, I don't know.
Well, maybe at some point I could see him as a babyface. I mean, I think he could make a good babyface because if you really think about it, what heel thing does Dolph Ziggler do besides being cocky, besides being a show-off gimmick? There's not really many things that many evil things I should say that Dolph Ziggler does it to make him a heel. So I think he could excel as a babyface, but
I think
that
it
just kind of depends on the whole, you know, with the lack of heels at the moment, then we'd only have The Shield, CM Punk, and Big Show. If they did that now, and I'm talking about before Randy Orton eventually turns heel too, so they can't do it now, maybe at some point later this year or in years coming forth, but this year or anytime soon, definitely not. I mean, he needs to win the World Championship as a heel. It's just the way that it's got to go. He can be one of the top heels in the company if he turns a babyface. If they turn a babyface anytime, he's going to be lost in the shuffle with the guys like Del Rio, Miz, Sheamus, Orton, all those guys. So, yeah, not anytime soon.
Yeah, not anytime soon at all. Now, if he happened to cash it in on Del Rio, I think that might help him amp up his heel status. I think if he cashes in on a face champion, that's where he's going to move up into the heel, where he's actually evil, not just cocky, if you know. And I kind of think that that's what they're waiting on.
Possibly. I mean, it just kind of depends on the storyline that he's been given. I mean, the whole Cena feud, he didn't really do anything evil at all. That was kind of all Vicky Guerrero. So it all kind of depends on what storyline he's given. So only time will tell as far as that goes. But, yeah, maybe they will make him a little bit more evil when he wins the World Championship. But even if he cashes in from Del Rio, he's still going to be cheered. I mean, the guy's a fan favorite as far as IWC guys go. So, even, I mean, in that same report, they mentioned that he was a fan favorite in the New York area. Obviously, he was at TLC because since he did the show, he would know that they were cheering all the heels the entire time. So, that was an obvious, of course, they'd be cheering him. So, I don't think that's any reason to turn him babyface. And then he turns tail like guys like Sheamus and Orton did and Miz. So, we'll have to see as far as that goes. But, yeah, I don't see him turning babyface anytime soon as long as he's the Money in the Bank or world champion.
Oh, I don't think Miz has turned stale at all.
Oh, no, yeah, not Miz. I'm sorry, not Miz. I think he's been pretty good as a face. I like the fact they turned him babyface, but I'm trying to think of someone else. Orton, Sheamus, and who else is some guy that they turned face? And don't say John Cena. I'm talking about, like, recently, but some guy that they've
turned
face.
Del Rio.
Awesome lusters. Yeah, like Del Rio. I mean, it's kind of too soon to say Del Rio because he's only been around for, like, a week as a face, but I mean, I think they're pushing it, as far as Del Rio goes, they're pushing it a little bit too hard with the Latino audience thing, like he's representing Latinos. That's pushing it a little too hard for my liking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. But at the same time, it's not so bad. And
yeah, I mean, he's not as bad as he could be.
He was so bad I was so tired of him beforehand that it's just nice to see him differently now.
Yeah, definitely.
The same mic skills and whatever, I mean, the same lines that he used on Big Show, that was the same stuff that he was saying as a heel, just as a babyface. But as you were saying, Seth, he was so stale as a heel that, I mean, just getting cheered for it, I guess, is a different change of pace. I welcome it. It's a nice change of pace because the guy, as you just said, was so boring for so long, so... Yeah, it's kind of a plus point, like where that goes and what they do with Del Rio, because I think it's a little bit too early to call him stale as a babyface, but I think Orton and Sheamus are two huge examples of two guys that were on a monster roll as heels, and then when they turned babyface, Sheamus was not so much, because he ended up becoming world champion for one of the longest reigns in world championship history, and he's way over the audience. I mean, maybe not with the online fans, but he's mostly over with the audience. And Orton, on the other hand, I mean, he's just been a joke over the last year anyway because he had the worst year of his career last year. So he's a prime example. Sheamus, not so much. Del Rio, only time will tell as far as he goes. But, yeah, I think Orton is like the main guy that's turned heel over the last 3 years that, I mean, his face turn has been a complete disaster since, I mean, it was a success first after he won the WWE title and the world title, but 2012 was really his downfall.
And I think that he was gone for half of it. So I think that once he returns this year, we get another 4 years of him. We'll see Orton in more of a prominent spot again. But he does need to turn heel. He needs that new. He needs to move on from the stale character he was when he was gone for half the year from suspensions and injuries and everything. So he really needs a revamp to get him interesting again, because he can actually play a really good heel. I thoroughly enjoyed him, especially during his big feud with John Cena. I think that was one of my favorites. He was one of my favorite heels at the time, so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, his feud with Cena and all the feuds with Kofi Kingston, whatever, Kofi Kingston got buried and whatever, but even still, his heel run, his heel persona, I mean, the whole sick-minded thing, if you go back and watch his matches on YouTube with Cena, when his whole his antics, the voices in his head thing, that's when he was at his most entertaining in his career as a heel. The whole Jim Keller thing, that was cool, so I'm glad that was over with, but the Viper thing, that was the best thing that ever happened to him. And turning a babyface was cool at first, and it kind of made him out to be like a Stone Cold anti-hero, but by this point, we've kind of seen it, done it, who really cares about him now. So, yeah, hopefully, I mean, in 2013, he does become one of the top heels in the company, because Dolph Ziggler isn't really at that point to win the World Championship. The Shield is just a massive group. They're not one of the top heels of the company yet until they cut another promo. CM Punk is the only sole heel at this moment that really shines as a heel, one of the company's top heels. Big Show's like 40-something, he's no longer World Champion, so I won't really count him. So hopefully Orton can take back his place as one of the company's top heels when he eventually turns heel in the next couple of months. Now, that being said, there was a report in that same report where they were mentioning that Orton might turn heel, which is why he lost to Barrett cleanly on Raw. They said that he might be taking some time off due to personal issues on the very near future. Hopefully not, because that's what happened last year. He got injured before the Royal Rumble, and he got injured on the road to the Elimination Chamber, and he wasn't able to win the World Championship, and then he got stuck in a lackluster feud with Kane going to Mania. So hopefully they do something a little more substantial with Orton this year. And unlike his feuds going to 27, 28, hopefully they have a real feud for him this year that he can really sink his teeth into as a heel.
Yeah, I mean, he had some awful luck with injuries last year, so I think he'll be better this year. But it really all depends. I think he could become the Randy Orton we once knew and loved again. Only if he gets an interesting feud going into WrestleMania. I think this coming up WrestleMania season is what's going to be the defining moment in how Orton's career goes from here.
Yeah, definitely. If you look back at the last recent years, look at this. I mean, last year he was in that match with Kane, second match on the card. The year before that, his match with CM Punk, another good match, but it's like fourth or fifth match in the card out of like 10. The year before that, his match with Legacy, the triple threat match, third match in the card. 2 years before that, when he was still a heel, I mean, the Legacy match, the Punk match, and his Kane match, all WrestleMania in recent years, he was a face for all those. He pretty much opened up the show. WrestleMania 25, WrestleMania 24, when he was still heel, he was in the WWE title matches in the latter half of the show. So that tells it all right there for you.
Well, I have a question for you guys. Let's say Randy Orton does turn heel. What's going to make this heel turn and this run as a heel, you know, make him a top star? He can't be the same exact character he was in 2009. What's he going to do differently as a heel this time?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, I liked his gimmick before, but, I mean, if they change it up a little bit, it's going to be interesting. Because I was thinking the same thing, how they're going to turn him heel. Because if the RKO is Sheamus, because that's kind of the direction they're going in, with his whole feud with Sheamus, is anyone really going to think he turns heel? Because how many times have we seen him attack Sheamus in the last few years when they were still whole face? Last year, when they had their mini feud, Orton, RKO, Sheamus, and quite a few times when he was still face, and he didn't turn heel. So I'm more interested in the fact of how they're going to execute the heel turn to begin with. I mean, of course, we're going to be, I mean, some people might be booing Orton if he attacks Sheamus, but he's going to have to do something really, really evil and really, 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 really cruel to get the crowd against him. I mean, you've seen him RKO people on commentating tables and whatnot, so. See, I'm just more interested in the fact of how they're going to become heel, and then as in the fact, I mean, how he's going to do when he's heel. It's more so the fact how they're going to be able to execute it, because if they have him attack Sheamus or Cena or whoever, or Del Rio, he's still going to be cheered regardless, though, because we've seen it so many times in recent years that no one's going to think that he's actually turning heel. So it's going to be interesting unless he starts bashing the crowd or I mean, I've said this a million times, but he kicks a baby, or he punts a baby in the head, he's still going to be cheered regardless. So I'm just more interested in the fact and how they're going to turn him heel, and they eventually do in the next few months.
The only way I can see him turning heel and getting booed is if he attacks The Rock.
That, you mean like CM Punk type thing?
Yeah, I know, but say this is after WrestleMania, which is actually kind of too long to wait. But anyway, he gets involved with The Rock, and suddenly he's a top heel again because everyone loves The Rock. You do anything against The Rock, you're an instant heel. I mean,
yeah,
CM Punk was...
Take Raw 1000, for example. I mean, with the whole Punk heat, you know, that he got at Raw 1000. So that'd be interesting, especially since the fact that this is before the whole Legend Killer thing. I mean, if you have him versus Rocky, match that we haven't seen before, aside from WrestleMania 20, when they had that handicap match, Evolution versus Rock and Sock Connection, yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, the whole Legend Killer thing, Orton Rock, that would definitely be interesting.
Yeah. I'd like that a lot, but they need to figure out something to do with him between now and WrestleMania. And I'm not sure what they're going to do. I mean, they could just throw us a huge swerve, have Punk Cena at WrestleMania, and then Rock, Randy Orton, which would be absolutely crazy. But
that would be pretty cool, but I don't see that happening, sadly.
That's right. So, well, do we have, I believe we've expressed all of our opinions on pretty much everything this past week. Do we have anything else to say?
I think we're good.
All right. So you can follow me on Twitter at SirBen_WE. You can find my writing at WrestleEnigma.com. Thank you for listening. You can also follow this podcast at Spoilers Podcast on Twitter, and you can email us SpoilersPodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Tim_Scores_GSN. Visit my website at NextEraWrestling.Weebly.com. Search me up on Bleacher Report just by searching Graham GSN Matthews. Find me on YouTube, Eddie Diassi, Priceless9. Find my other, or listen to my other show, Save Us GSM, every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 Central Time on CW247.net. And, of course, listen to Spoilers every week here on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio every Thursday evening at 5:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Central Time. And, Seth, of course, if you'd like to plug yourself as well.
Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. Check out my website, GuttWrenchPowerBlog.com. That's GuttWrenchPowerBlog.com. I'm also a WWE featured columnist on Bleacher Report, so you can search for Seth M. Guttenplant. And check us out. And also in terms of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, check them out. And if anyone is interested in contributing to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse or Gut Wrench Power Blog, you can contact me in order to do that.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We will see you next week, Thursday at 5:30, 4:30 Central. Have a great week.